Coming up today on the show, some ideas for investing your savings. Sometimes you can start with as little as 2 pennies.
So, you have tuppence? May I be permitted to see it?
But instead of investing, you might say,
no, I want it to feed the birds.
We'll be joined by our financial planning crew who will offer advice on what to do now that CDs and money markets are offering historically low yields.
Tuppence, prudently, thriftily, frugally invested in the, to be specific, in the Dawes, Tomes, Mousley, Grubbs, Fidelity, Fiduciary Bank.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, ideas for who to entrust with your tuppence when you want to see them grow. On Central Standard, after this hour's news.
Very well, my boy, give me the money.
No, I won't. I want it to feed the birds.
Birds?
Good morning, Kansas City. It was bond fund manager Bill Gross who popularized the term the new normal. He said investors should embrace a defensive strategy because of the limits of near zero interest rates and systemic debt risk in global financial markets. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today we ask the question, what's the difference between the old normal and the new when it comes to saving and investing? And to answer that, we return to a special segment.
It's time now for financial planning advice with the Cash Money Crew.
And joining us in the studio are all certified financial planners for the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City who love that music and love that song. David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors, and Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services. Welcome to the show, one and all.
Good morning.
Thank you.
What is the new normal, David Jackson? And what does that mean?
Well, you know, you look at the new situation that we're in, and safe investors are really having a tough time these days dealing with these low interest rates. When the Fed said that they're going to lower interest rates to try to stimulate the economy and keep rates low for the next 2 years, you know, people who were living off the interest of their CDs will say, you know, they've seen a huge pay cut. And so now people are struggling with what do I do now?
Sandy Weaver, has interest rate fluctuation, or lack of fluctuation, rather, changed the way people invest?
Yes, it's had to, in a way, because especially for retirees, as David mentioned, you know, those that want to stay in CDs and bonds really aren't earning enough. And so there's a great deal of pressure, and the Federal Reserve is pushing this. There's a great deal of pressure to move into other kinds of investments, you know, and most obviously the stock market.
Alex Petrovic, savings accounts, money markets, and CDs are paying historically low yields. What can or should investors do to increase returns in an environment like that?
Well, first off, you'd have to accept more risk, obviously, leaving CD and money market. So probably the next step up is the bond market, and that's very diversified in terms of how many different alternatives you can invest in the bond market, but that's probably the first step up.
And so what's sort of an introductory investment in the bond market? What does the bond market look like? Give us an overview, and then we'll jump right into bonds.
Yeah, well, overview would be taxable or non-taxable, domestic or international, short duration, long duration, high yield would be noted as junk bonds. And probably for most investors, that means using either index funds, mutual funds, or ETFs.
What does treasuries look like right now?
Treasuries, I think it's safe to say they're at a 31-year high. That means yields are roughly a 30-year low. And you'd have to bet on more deflation or systemic global risk to be that excited about the treasury market.
So you're not that excited about it?
No.
When you're examining a bond fund or an ETF for bonds, what do you look at as opposed to an equity mutual fund? Sandy Weaver?
On bond mutual funds, you'll want to look at the credit quality, the credit range that they're investing in. Are they looking at AAA down to BBB, or is this a bond fund that invests in bonds that are BBB down to non-rated? So you have a lot more risk on the latter.
So, David, is there more due diligence involved in investigating bonds that are in a bond portfolio than stocks?
Not really. I mean, you need to do your due diligence with both. And, you know, the risk in a stock or an equity fund is a lot greater than the risk in a bond fund. So, you know, if you have a bad year in a stock fund, you may lose 30 or 40% of your value. You know, you have a bad year in a bond fund, maybe you lose 5%. So, but you still have to pay attention to what type of bond you're getting into.
What do low interest rates have to do with bonds? Are there correlations?
Absolutely a correlation. And one of the fears that is out there is that as low as interest rates are now, they're bound to go up eventually. And generally, when interest rates go up, the value of bonds go down. And so a lot of people who have run to be safe with their portfolios and put a lot of money in bonds just for that safety benefit, they may have a surprise going forward. So, you know, one of the things we constantly are talking to our clients about is diversify, diversify, diversify.
So what is your advice here? You're saying that savings rates and CDs and money markets are bringing back historically low returns because of interest rates. So then you talk about the next alternative would be bonds, but then that's also tied to interest rates as well. How are you weighting the bonds in your portfolio, Sandy?
We are using more bonds that are corporate bonds, high yield corporate bonds, overseas bonds. And overseas bonds, there are a couple of kinds, sovereign debt, which is governments overseas. And as we've all learned lately, you know, those have their own set of risk parameters. But there's also big global corporations overseas that float bonds that have, you know, good interest rates that you can look at.
Alex Petrovic, what is the biggest drawback to having a heavy bond weight in your portfolio?
Well, lack of growth, number one. Overall, the growth potential is low if you have low-risk type bonds. And then, of course, there's a rising interest rate or inflation market, I'd say, are the two biggest risks.
Are we at risk of inflation right now?
It doesn't seem like we are on the immediate side, but long-term, inflation has been more like 3 or 4%. And so I would say, yeah, we are, but I think we have some time.
Does the allocation, David Jackson, determine your investment goals?
Well, your investment goals determine your allocation. But one of the things I'd really like to bring up for some of our listeners is you think about the return you're getting right now on a CD. You may, you know, if you're lucky, you're getting 0.5% per year. The cost of living, the inflation rate is running at about 2.5% right now. So when you put your money in a CD or a safe investment like that, you're actually losing money. You're technically losing money. So you do need to be looking at, well, how can I rearrange things? I'm not telling people take all your money out of CDs or take all your money out of the bank. I'm just saying you need to understand that, you know, if all your assets are in these safe vehicles, you're getting further behind each year.
So, Sandy Weaver, because of the disparity between the federal funds rate and the inflation rate, we're actually losing money on savings?
Oh, yes, indeed. If you're only making 0.5% on your CD, but inflation is close to 3%, then you actually lost 2.5%.
So what's the alternative here, Alex?
Well, that's the dilemma.
Well,
that is the dilemma, you know. And I think the first question you asked David about the new normal, which I think Bill Gross is credited for.
He is, for popularizing it at least.
Right. And I think part of that is the great deleveraging that's going on in the world.
Explain what deleveraging is for our listeners.
Well, it's basically trying to pay down debt. We've accumulated so much debt. So whether it's the corporations have very little debt now, they've cleaned up their balance sheets, but the individual and then the countries, the debt is huge and it's only growing. So that this deleveraging causes a lot of imbalances and probably gives bond funds or bonds in general a little bit of life here still going forward, even at the peak that we're, you know, that we're experiencing in bond prices.
So, Sandy, that almost creates a two-pronged obstacle to savings. You have a big deleveraging of both consumer, corporate, and government debt, as well as low returns on the interest rates for savings. So how do we look at prioritizing debt versus savings here for clients or for our listeners out here?
You still need to save to have an emergency fund. You need to save for your retirement goals. Those activities still need to go on. The second question then is, how do you invest those? And that's based on the time frame that you have to work with and the types of investments, you know, bonds, stocks, alternatives.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR on your FM dial, 89.3 streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We're talking about investing in the new normal economy, and joining us today is the show's Cash Money Click crew, a brain trust of financial experts helping us deposit knowledge about retirement and retirement planning, savings, and the bond market. Joining us in the studio are all certified financial planners for the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City, David Jackson of Waddell & Reed, Sandy Weaver of the Financial Security Advisors, and Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Financial Services. Sandy, has the way we save sort of changed forever?
Yes, it has, I think. I don't think we place the emphasis on it that we used to. I think there's a great deal of pressure to keep up with the Joneses. Savings is something that's overlooked. And it's not till it's, you know, you're 60 and you want to retire that you realize it's something you should have started a long time ago and developed good habits.
David?
You know, I think after 2008, that was such a profound event that affected so many of us that I think we have seen a shift where people are more interested in saving and, you know, not, you know, spending tomorrow's money today. I think it, you know, it's kind of like the Great Depression, the impact that had on that generation. I think the Great Recession had that same type of impact on our generation. And I think people are going to be a little bit more frugal, a little more interested in saving for a rainy day than maybe we were before.
Alex, many investors fear that inflation might be just around the corner. What are some inflation protection bonds, and do they have an upside or a downside for investors?
Right. The U.S. government issues Treasury and inflation protected bonds, also known as TIPS, and they are a good way. They're relatively safe in the bond area, and they do provide some protection against rising inflation. Now, they do not necessarily protect against a rising interest rate market. So if interest rates are going up and there's not much inflation, your TIP funds may not be doing so well.
Any more tips on TIPS, David Jackson?
Well, you know, when you think about the fixed income market, you know, sometimes it may make sense to go towards the higher yielding types of investments because they're not quite as impacted by the inflation rates as the more safe type of fixed income products.
So, Sandy, as a financial prognosticator and advisor and planner, are you watching interest rates with as keen an eye as you're watching inflation rates? Because it seems during the course of this discussion, as we were finding out, that one depends on the other and the other depends on the other. You got six on one hand and half a dozen on the other, so to speak.
We watch interest rates more. We also watch what David was discussing, you know, the correlation between the types of bonds you're using in the portfolios. We have, as Alex said, interest rates on the treasuries are going to be pretty much where they are for the next 2 years. The Fed has told us that. But the farther away from that you get to corporate bonds and you get to high-yield bonds and you get to overseas bonds, the farther away from that you get, the less impact or one-to-one correlation you have on those types of bonds.
Sandy, for years we've heard that treasuries were a really safe, sure bet that you could go to in times of peril. David is over here smirking, so we're going to get to him next. But how has that changed on treasuries?
Oh, a lot of it is your return. So much of your return is tied to the move in the interest rates, which are the exact opposite of the price movement. So you can sit there and think you're totally safe in 30-year Treasury bonds and notes, but you are not.
David Jackson, why are you laughing at Treasury bonds?
Well, because it's just really interesting in this environment that we're in. You know, you even think about last summer when they lowered the debt rating of the United States, and everybody got concerned about the economy and the stock market and everything. There was a huge move into treasuries, but people have basically accepted the idea, I'm going to lose money putting money into treasuries. I'm going to lose money putting my money in safe investments relative to inflation just so I can, you know, have protection.
Is that the new normal, Alex? I'm going to lose money putting my money into a safe investment.
That is part of the new normal, yes. I would add one thing, though, in terms of the discussion of higher yielding bonds. When we've kind of had a makeover in our portfolios the last few years. When you look at our bond funds, we like our bond funds really to hold up during, you know, when we have a risk-off trade. So in 08, high-yield bonds lost 25 to 35%. And the last 3 years, they've averaged the same return as the S&P 500. To me, that's a kind of a slippery road to go down using much high-yield bonds in a portfolio.
So let's get into alternatives investments. You always see these commercials about buying gold. How do precious metals fit into one's portfolio, if at all?
I think they have a place. They are certainly very different from bonds, very different from stocks, very different from stocks overseas.
More risky.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. By far. It's one of the most risky things you can invest in. But there, in terms of supply and demand, you know, the global growth, particularly when you look at countries from China, creates huge demand for commodities and industrial metals. And so the long-term secular rate on that is up.
And these are hard assets, David. What are you looking at in terms of precious metals?
Well, it does create a degree of safety, you know, and it's particularly when you look at gold and silver, you know, when there's a fear of inflation, you know, there's a run to those types of secure investments where it provides this element of safety.
And are we seeing that now?
We've seen it already. I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot more run left there, but it took a huge run over the last few years.
What do you like better, Alex, silver or gold?
Gosh, I think I read recently that silver actually is undervalued relative to gold. But gold is still so widely accepted as an alternative to the global currencies that I'm not sure when that gap will close.
It's interesting. You said that silver is perceived to be undervalued in its relationship to gold. Why is that, do you think?
I think it's just I believe, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe it's just that there's so much interest in gold as an alternative to the currencies because we've had not finding that much gold in the world, but yet the sovereign countries are printing paper money. I don't know what the rate is, but it's phenomenal over what we're finding in gold. So I think people are just have an interest in that as a protection against currencies.
Sandy Weaver, is gold an inflation hedge?
In some periods, when you look at the research, it's not. It's more of an emotional investment, and it's not that tied to demand and supply. Silver is more tied to demand and supply.
All right, let's get to basics. We're coming back from global commerce and commodities and bonds and, you know, these sort of insider baseball, inside Wall Street type investments and prognostication. Let's say someone who'd never set up a savings account or an investment account wants to do that today. David, what should they be looking at?
Well, they're just going to have to assume that they're not going to earn very much money on their savings account.
So, and do you tell clients that when you come in?
Oh, yeah. You know, but I don't tell them don't have a savings account. You know, as Sandy mentioned earlier, you know, you should have 3 to 6 months, depending on what industry you're in, maybe a year's worth of a savings put away for an emergency in case you lose your job or something. But then, you know, I know way too many people who have their total portfolio in safe investments, and I just remind them, you're losing money. You can't afford to have all your money losing purchasing power each year. You need to diversify.
How do you convince people who think savings accounts are still the safest investment or think that treasuries are still the safest investment? How do you tell them that this is no longer the case, Sandy?
Well, lots of times you just put pen and paper together. You can, as we talked before, you can show them that they're losing money and try to persuade them to accept smaller amounts of risk in order to get higher returns. You might look at mutual funds that have government agency bonds in them. Vanguard has some that have nice cheap interest or expense ratios, and you can make some higher returns on your money that way.
Sandy, what are some of the other alternative investments that may not be on the radar for some of our listeners that you're looking at right now?
Well, we use overseas. Some of the growth rates overseas are higher than here in the U.S., of course. That's one of the things Bill Gross had referred to in his new normal term that he coined. We have a very slow growth rate here, particularly coming out of this downturn that we had.
Now, when you say overseas, are you talking stocks? Are you talking bonds? Are you talking commodities? What are you talking here?
All of it. We actually mimic real estate investments overseas, stocks overseas, bonds overseas, commodities overseas, because the U.S., it's a global economy now. The U.S. isn't the only country.
What are you looking at in terms of alternative plays, David?
You may be surprised to hear this, but even real estate has a place as a portfolio. You know, going forward, I mean, real estate took a huge bath, you know, over the last couple of years. It's finally starting to come back. We've and not just residential, but commercial.
How about you, Alex?
Real quickly, going back to the risk money markets, a lot of credit unions here in town offer better than money market rates. So that's an alternative. Checking out their credit unions, as well as maybe short duration bond funds, are an idea for cash like investments.
Short duration bond funds. Expound on that.
Well, they just have very short maturities to the portfolio, so they have not that much interest rate risk. And some of them are still providing maybe a 2%, you know, yield on them. So you move up one notch on the risk level out of money market funds, and they're relatively reliable, really, as investment alternatives to cash.
And how is an investment set up with a credit union different from that of a commercial bank?
Well, that's a good – I'm not sure I can answer that, except that I just know that a lot of times they – since they're not-for-profit, number one, I think probably the major driver, they can provide a little higher yield than the profit banks.
Do you have some touch on what makes credit unions different from commercial banks, the investment strategy?
You know, I don't – you don't use those.
Well, Alex is right, though. It's they don't have the same profit motive, so they're able to pay out a higher interest rate, and usually they're actually able to give you a lower interest rate when you're borrowing money.
Here's something that's very alternative, Alex. Collectibles, yeah. Art, stamps, wine, diamonds, antiques. These are not publicly traded and can't be tracked, but they have value.
Certainly. They are an alternative to the regular stock and bond market. And some people have really good luck in collectibles or cars or even jewelry or antiques, you name it.
Does that ever play into a strategy when you're a certified financial analyst or financial planner? In what ways?
It does come into light when we do our fact-finding to see what investments that they own to try to get a net worth statement from them. But in terms of recommending, no.
Sandy?
We do have clients that have collectibles. It's one of the discussions that we have. I think it was last month a couple were in, and they have collectibles, and we were doing the estate planning with them, and they decided that they might give some of those to charities in town so that we can get the charitable deduction on their tax return.
David, what other alternative investments are gaining popularity other than real estate, other than collectibles, other than precious metals? Is there anything we're missing?
You know, I think we've covered quite a bit of it, and I'm back to what Sandy alluded to. The rest of the world is growing a lot faster than the United States, so looking at international type of investing, you know, definitely has a place in people's portfolios.
Are there regions that are hot or industries and sectors that are hot or just international index funds?
Well, both, because, you know, everybody talks about China. India is also growing really fast. Parts of South America are growing really fast, including Brazil. Parts of Eastern Europe are actually growing pretty fast. So, you know, and then there are different areas that you can take a look at.
If we had to condense this down, what is the key takeaway of investing in the new normal economy, Sandy?
I think it's still diversify and asset allocation, that if you put all your eggs in one basket, say bonds, short-term bonds or CDs, you know, it is a high-risk venture, even though you might think you're safe.
Alex?
I would add on the alternative side, mutual funds now are embracing them big time. We have a local money manager here in Kansas City that's rolled out, I'd say, traditional alternatives in that. And I think they belong in portfolios, and they could be managed futures, commodities. But the mutual fund market now is embracing them, so they're available for the small investor.
Our guests in the studio are all certified financial planners for the Financial Planning Association of Greater Kansas City. We have Alex Petrovic, whose voice you just heard, Sandy Weaver of Financial Security Advisors, and David Jackson of Wardell & Reed. We've been talking about investing and savings in the new normal economy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a short break. When we return, KCUR will present live coverage of Mayor Sly James's State of the City Address, hosted by Steve Kraske and Steve Steigman from UpToDate. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.